Food is the language everyone speaks, but do we truly understand it?
Between the conversations over organic food and GMOs, different diets taking the world by storm, and how what we eat actually impacts our environment,
there's no shortage of things to learn about. Hi, I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is Serving Up Science. Welcome to Serving Up Science, the series all about food, where it comes from, and how it impacts our health and planet. I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum.
And I'm Karel Vega. And on today's episode, we're going to follow up on what we said last time on Serving Up Science, and we're going to cook some food. Cheryl challenged me to make some kugel originally, and I responded by challenging her to make pozole, which she has made. Cheryl, tell me a little bit about that experience.
Made and mastered.
That's right.
No, it was great. You know, when you gave me this recipe, it was your mother's recipe. She originally sent it to you in Spanish. You had to translate it. And I'm like completely intimidated because I gave you the probably easiest thing you could possibly cook, which is like noodles in a sweet, cheesy sauce. So I'm thinking it's going to be really, really complicated. And ultimately, it was actually not too hard at all and delicious. So thank you.
Of course. And you did record that experience. So let's check that out right now.
We are here in my kitchen and with a lot of kids, and we are going to try Karel's mother's pozole recipe, which I'm really excited about. I hope I'm pronouncing it right because I'm kind of self-conscious that I'm not. But one of the first things his mom, who kindly gave us this recipe, specified is that the ingredients are best when they come from a specialty shop. But we have small kids and not a lot of time, so my husband actually just went to Meijer and found everything we needed. So I'm sure it won't be quite as good as Karel's had back home, but we're going to do our best. And I think if nothing else, that demonstrates that you can find a lot of ingredients you're not used to at the place you shop most of the time and experiment. So here we go. We'll see what happens.
Let's take a quick pause to talk about exactly why we swapped recipes. Cheryl, what was our thinking behind this crazy idea?
There is a lot of delicious stuff out in the world, and it's pretty easy to get stuck in the rut of whatever we're used to, whatever we're comfortable with, what we grew up with, which is fun and fine, but we're a nation of a whole bunch of different great cultures, so why not trade some recipes and have some new experiences in the kitchen?
Now, let's get back to your kitchen.
So it says here that in one big pot, we drop the chicken and the hom, which I think is the hominy.
That's my husband, David, you hear, who's helping me out with the recipe.
You add 1/2 white onion as well. Water needs to cover all the chicken and the hominy. And then we're gonna add in the bouillon cubes. So I just assumed that you add the red onion at the same time as the white onion, but then I scrolled down and it was very clear that you add the red onion at the very end.
Oh, so well. What I'm hearing is we messed up in like the first 5 minutes.
Hey, onion is onion, right?
It's still going to be tasty, I think. Karel, let's pause here for a second because I'm hoping you can tell us a little more about the history of pozole.
Absolutely. Now, historically, from my research, the exact roots of pozole are somewhat vague and a little lost in time. But what we do know is that the dish is mentioned in several Aztec codices, which are ancient books that detail the lives and language of the Aztec people. Now, pozole at its core is really just Mexico's take on stew with simple ingredients. You got your sauce, your hominy, and your meat component.
In this case, chicken.
Exactly. And like any food with a history that dates back thousands of years, you're going to get several variations on the dish. For starters, pozole comes in three main forms. You're going to have your white pozole without any big sauce components. Then you're going to have two other versions with red sauce or green sauce, depending on the chilies you use. For your version, Cheryl, we used my mom's red pozole recipe with a few shortcuts in there to make the cooking process a little more accessible. You did use a can of enchilada sauce, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's no problem with using canned ingredients in making a tasty meal. And with that being said, let's go to the taste test.
All right, well, I'm going to take a bite. I like it. The hominy is almost like a little polenta taste to the soup. At least that's what I think of.
Oh, that's interesting. I feel like I'm back in Guanajuato.
The real winner here is definitely putting lime in there. Like once you get an acidic element into it, that's where it goes.
Mm. I would have this again for sure. That guy talking at the end about garnishes was our friend Alan, who came over to cook with us.
And Alan actually brings up a great point. In my opinion, where pozole really shines is in the garnishes you use. Serve yourself a bowl and throw in some red onion, oregano, squeeze some lime in there, and you get a perfect blend of savory and acidity that makes everything okay in the world. With that being said, Cheryl, what are your final thoughts on pozole?
I think we have a new tradition in my family.
Well, that is great to hear. You've been listening to Serving Up Science, the series all about food, where it comes from, and how it impacts our health and our planet.
And next week, the tables are turned because I'm giving Carell one of my family's recipes, and he is going to try kugel.
And if you want to try your hand at making my mom's pozole, the recipe will be on WKAR.org. I'm Carell Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is WKAR.